We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And five of them here in overtime. Now DeRozan with a chance to win it. DeRozan, 7 seconds. DeRozan drives, off-balance shot, no good! Brunson the rebound, and he's fouled with 2.1 remaining. DeRozan had a clean look. So many have gone down, but not that one.
He got the shot he wanted. He can't believe he missed it.
And Jalen Brunson secures the huge defensive rebound.
Marcy DeRozan rising. Oh, good job by Debo.
Maple Maxo, thank you so much. Really appreciate the contributions today and every day. You guys do it. Disregarding the turnovers today, I have so much faith in the Brunson Hart Devo triangle offense at the end of games. T squared for game two. That's an Andrew Claudio thing. I don't know. T squared social, if we can get that in the mix here before. Again, an announcement. There might have been one. I'm sorry if I'm missing any playoff watch parties that have been scheduled already in the works. But I would imagine that we will have one for the playoffs if one has not already been scheduled. Maybe one day I can get up there from my Chapel Hill abode to join everyone. That would be a great thing. I can maybe do in the playoffs. We'll see. So much faith in the Brunson Hart Devo triangle offense at the end of games. Yeah, there's like, it's an interesting, and I was thinking about where this Knicks team has been as a fan, and you know, started in the 90s for me. And it just felt like every year, 50 wins and at least in the second round in most years, through the Van Gundy years in the, you know, late 90s into like just into the early 2000s where playoffs were expected. And then you had the really rough years in the early 2000s and then the Phil Jackson years. And I'm only bringing him up because of what Maple Maxo makes mention of, which is the triangle offense. And it gives me heartburn and nightmares just trying to recall the Knicks trying to shove the triangle offense down our collective throats during those Derek Fisher years. I don't know. Whenever he was a head coach and they were trying to run the triangle and clearly the Knicks didn't have the personnel to run it in a way that was effective. And it was just like, it felt like there was this, the Knicks were playing a game that moved past them in terms of their offensive structure. But if you look at this team today, there is a lot of triangle influence. The split cutting that they'll run a lot, the blind pig action, the ball moving side to side, Hartenstein playing out of the high post. Like there are so many triangle influences with this current offense that is just interesting to me based on like where the Knicks were during the Phil years. But it does speak to the timelessness and some of the ideas and principles of that offense. And I don't know if Maple Maxo is strictly making this a triangle of like the like a three players, or if he's strictly talking, if he's actually talking about the triangle offense. I'm going to use this super chat as a way to just talk about the triangle offense, like the triangle offense, which the Knicks have been slowly incorporating more and more with Hartenstein you know, playing that role. If you go back to, you know, the Knicks and Joakim Noah playing the high post, when the Knicks had Derek Fisher and, or Phil signed him and they were playing through, Joakim and all that. But this team has more options out of that because you have the DiVincenzo piece of it. And the fact that when you go to the second side and Hartenstein flashes out, we all know teams are playing high on DiVincenzo. So they're trying to take away his deep 3-point threat. So they are crowding him and it just opens up that back door, call it a blind pig. It's a triangle flow that is just triggered based on the Hartenstein flash, knowing that, you know, if the Knicks are not getting anything clean out of that first action, he knows he's triggered to move up, get that pass, and that triggers DiVincenzo to quickly make that back cut, or whether it's McBride. They tried it a couple of times today. I don't think they actually gained any offensive buckets out of it, but it's a element that the Knicks use all the time and is certainly a element of the triangle offense, but it's another example of like where this offensive evolution has gotten to. It's a truly diverse offense around an MVP candidate. And it's just a fantastic job by this coaching staff and the players to adjust. Just watch some of the early season games. It's an unrecognizable change in offensive approach based on where they were in October. Game one against the Celtics and missing every single shot in the paint. But it was a lot of Randle trying to like bully his way in. And they even evolved a little bit based on Randle, instead of being so far out or starting his post-ups a little bit deeper and being more efficient in those looks. And then you had the doubles and then you had the spraying the ball out. Like they adjusted from that early season, you know, struggles, especially finishing in the paint. But there's just been so many different iterations of this team that they've gotten to the point where I feel like there's a argument to be made that they have peaked as a ball club heading into the playoffs, which is what you want. You don't want to peak early. You don't want to peak, you don't want to peak early. And I feel like the last time the Knicks won 50 games, they peaked early. That 12-13 team was kind of stale as they got to the playoffs, but I would not say that is the case this year. Thank you, Maple Maxo. Knicks Fan Patrol. I also love you guys. Love is in the air. Oh, I love you guys too. It's been a fun opportunity to sort of celebrate a important step, which is 50 wins in the number two seed. It should be enjoyed and celebrated. And I hope the team and they're probably not going to do it for more than tonight. I'm sure the coach is already on to prep for the potential matchup options here, the 76ers, the Heat. But I hope this team can take a few moments to recognize how important it was to get to where they are and how much they had to do to get there. There's so much more to be done, but to get to 50 wins and the number two seed after all the many reasons why that was just not going to happen with the injuries and all the problems this team had and trying to figure out a way to string together offense when you just didn't have much to go on. And again, shout out to some of the guys that may not see big playoff minutes based on matchups, but Precious Achiuwa for one. I don't think the Knicks win the overtime period today without him. He also played a stretch of games where he was playing 40 minutes a night and giving us headaches with the spacing and playing more power forward than, you know, we're probably ever going to want to see from a non-spacer, but help the Knicks get to 50 wins. So many players on this roster helped the Knicks get to 50 wins and had major influence on where this team is right now. And Precious Achiuwa is one of those guys. Two big rim defenses today in that overtime period. Had the stop against DeRozan on that late under a minute shot. Kept his hands out of the cookie jar. Didn't get baited into a foul call. Had the putback play in the overtime. Just a big moment for him. And I hope he doesn't get lost in any of the celebrations or the appreciation for where this team is, because I don't think the Knicks are the number two seed without him. Because even if they weren't Sublime minutes, if they were minutes that were more heartache than not based on the offensive fit, you just needed a guy to play competent NBA minutes and play almost 40 minutes a night for a long stretch of basketball and do so when the team just didn't have another option. And Precious Achiuwa did that. And he deserves so much credit for being up to that challenge and up to that task. So I hope we can all take a moment and just recognize his impact on this 50-win Knicks season. Thank you, Knicks Fan Patrol. Really appreciate that. Sam Garcia's dad is a J.B. Iverson comp fair. So I did, when Julius got hurt, I mentioned the 01 76ers as like a terrible comparison for a lot of ways, because the Knicks role players are better than the 76ers team that went to the finals. But if you look at, you have two guards, 6'2" and under, Jalen, I mean, they're probably close in height, that don't have, with Julius out, a all-star performer to take some of the pressure off. That, and people forget, Iverson, as elite as he was as a ball handler, as a finisher, did most of his damage in the mid-range against taller, rangier defenders. And that is where, that to me, the comparison for those two players really rings true, because it's rare that you get guys at that height that can take advantage and score in that area where you are constantly taking mid-range shots against taller, longer defenders, and you are shooting high degree of difficulty looks time and time again. So that to me is where the comparison is actually pretty accurate regarding small guards playing in the mid-range, short mid-range a lot, and doing so with a level of confidence also that they weren't going to break down. I feel like that was the Iverson thing that was so amazing, was that even more than I don't know if he's more than Jalen, because Jalen is on the ground a lot, but Iverson, I feel like, was always getting knocked to the floor, and you always wondered like if he was going to get up, and wasn't as stout or as sturdy as Jalen physically, but he never stayed on the ground, like always got up, and always like he took a beating game out, game in, and always got up and always continued to put pressure on the defense. And that to me is another way that comparison is rings true, because as many times as Jalen hits the floor, I'm never concerned that he's not going to get up. He is whether it's a charge, whether it's a finish where he comes down and he lands on an ankle and he's on the floor, he just always gets up and he continues to put pressure on the defense and does it in areas of the floor that you typically do not see guards of his size perform. It's a complete unique ability to shoot over longer, taller defenders in a part of the floor that is usually reserved for the Kawhi Leonards or the Paul Georges or the any of those big wing type players, or Devin Booker, who is a legitimate 6'5", like those are Kevin Durant. These are the guys you typically see perform in similar spots on the court. But Jalen Brunson does, because he has just incredible touch, but he also, on a strictly like technique factor, has a release point that is probably more comparable to a 6'4 guard than a 6'1 guard, because it's a two motion shot. It's a high release point. It allows him to make shots over shot contests and do so somehow efficiently, which continues to be incredible based on some of the shot quality data that you look at. Like, he just does not take typically easy looks unless he's being set up for open catch and shoot threes or driving closeouts. Typically he's working really hard for his looks and continues to do so and get points and do it in a way that is efficient. Incredible job. Thank you, Sam Garcia's dad.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, Knicks fans? Quick break to tell you about T-Squared Social, your new home for watching Knicks games and the new home of Knicks Film School watch parties. Located at 7 East 42nd Street, just a short walk from Grand Central, take it from me, this place has everything for a sports fan. This Wednesday, the Sixers and the Heat will battle it out in the play-in to earn the right to take on the Knicks in the first round. You can head to T-Squared and watch it on the biggest screen in New York City, as well as the other seven play-in games all week long. Interested in watching more than just basketball? Ask them to put the Yankees, the Mets, the Rangers, or the Islanders on one of their other dozen screens. As always, you can check out one of their golf simulators or play duck pin bowling or hit them up on one of their trivia nights. T-Squared Social, your number one place to watch the next big Knicks game. Get a free draft beer when you tell them Knicks Film School sent you. Visit tsquaredsocial.com for more information.
All right. Jess, how are you? I appreciate that. Hashtag 50 wins, 2 seed in the East. I believe in this team. What a season. This is tips culture. Cheers, DJ. Hashtag ECF Dark Horse. Hashtag Brunts him. Couldn't say it better myself, Jess. I believe in this team too. Really gonna go down as one of the most enjoyable 50 win number, or just one of the most enjoyable regular seasons that I've ever watched. I think this team deserves all the credit to get there. The Tibbs culture I've talked about, you can't tell the story about this regular season without talking about Tom Thibodeau, who I am sure probably had to do his best coaching when the team was really down bodies and didn't have, if we're going to be honest, like didn't have enough to win consistently. But there's a belief, there's a, we have enough to win, quote unquote, which is a line that he has used often, that trickles down to the players. And you are, as a head coach, you instill belief despite obstacles. If you can do that, you to me are doing the heavy lifting, because the X's and O's stuff and all the other things like that, it's so important and it's a big factor. And, but you also don't know, like, credit, you know, sign credit. There's a lot of assistant coaches here trying to help figure it out and try to balance out the offensive attack and add elements to try to take advantage of what the Knicks do well, what the teams are trying to take away. But no doubt Tibbs has his imprint on where they are in terms of the on-court, like strictly like X's and O's stuff. That is, as I talked about, evolved tremendously over the season. But you have to instill belief in your team. And yes, these are all professionals. These are a veteran team that probably shouldn't lose belief, but they're all also humans that saw injury after injury and played games where it just felt like they just didn't have enough on the offensive end to put forth a requisite effort to score enough points. But the coach, and this is the culture that Jess is talking about, just was not going to allow them to get down on themselves. And his job, Tom's job, was to get them to believe enough to get some bodies back. And listen, they didn't get them all back, as we've touched on, but they got Mitch back and they got OG back. And that might be enough. Because once you got those guys back, guys start to fall back into their normal roles. You have a more balanced, deeper team. That belief then becomes a lot easier. But when things were not looking great and we were wondering, like, is the team going to see the play-in? The coach, the culture that he sets, along with Jalen Brunson, to me, kept the belief and kept them just stringing enough wins together to where they end up going 21-15 without Julius Randle and without OG Anunoby through for a lot of those games. Thank you, Jess. Ben Kim Gerby, thank you so much always being there with us, whether it's the watch parties or these post-game shows. Thank you so much. Now that the pre-playoffs are over, bring on the season. Hashtag storybook season. Hashtag order of the Leon Rose. It's good, a good opportunity to talk about Leon Rose. The synergy between the president and the head coach has been seamless since the Cam Reddish trade. And obviously there were some moments with the Fournier and Kemba, the Reddish deal. They have not been in sync the entire time, but for the vast majority of the time that Tibbs has been the head coach and Leon Rose has been the president, they have been in complete lockstep. And to me, that is a major factor because you have to know that there is a certain player that Tibbs is going to require. And this is why there's, if you're going to be anti-Tibbs or question him as a head coach, this is a valid criticism, is that those principles and, you know, how he grinds players and the minutes and the expectations, like, that is not for everyone. But for this ball club, you look from the first guy down to the last guy, starting with Jalen Brunson all the way down, they are littered with Tibbs guys. And it's not a skill thing. It's not a talent thing. It is a respect of the game thing. It is a will thing. It is a effort thing. It is a preparedness thing. Those are the things that the Tibbs culture is really setting here. And that's something that Leon Rose recognized. And he made sure to put in place a roster of players that was going to take that message, which is not for everyone, and might be why Tibbs has had short-ish times with certain teams, because it's that message is not for everyone, but it is for this team. And they are a complete synergy, head coach, president. Leon Rose has done a magnificent job of getting this team to 50 wins in the number two seed without disrupting any of the potential long-term plans that this team may or may not have. The optionality is still there with the draft picks, with contracts that are valuable contracts on the books that you couldn't have asked for, in my mind, like legitimately asked for a better situation of where they are right now. A very good ball club that just won 50 games, combined with the fact that they have a ton of flexibility moving forward. That is a complete win for Leon Rose to get the team to where they are now based on maintaining flexibility in the future. 50 wins and you have all those draft picks, all those contracts that you can lump together potentially if you want to make changes. But that's for another time, because right now this team is good enough to get to your number two seed and do a lot of damage. As I've mentioned before, the Knicks are a live threat to get to the finals, which is the only way to view this team in my mind. And you are going to, and I'm just telling you, warning you right now, there is going to be a significant, may not be a majority, but there will be a significant amount of media talk, regardless of who wins the Heat 76er matchup, that the Knicks are going to lose the first round. And they're going to present you with a lot of the Heat boogeyman stuff. They're going to present you, if it's the 76ers, a lot of the Embiid stuff. The Knicks, as I said, should be have a healthy respect for either one of those teams, but they will be favored. It'll be a hard-fought series, but the Knicks should win either one with home court advantage. But Ben Kim Gervey, thank you so much for sticking around and helping us out here. Justin, thank you so much for your support. We really appreciate that. These Knicks have done it their way all season. Basketball gods are real. 50 wins, a superstar point guard, top play D, and a great coach. Time for war. Let's go, Knicks. It was their way. They have done it from the beginning of the season. Even when things didn't look great, they were doing it their way. And there was never a point where it felt like the team was letting go of the rope. And maybe that is the ultimate credit to the superstar point guard, Justin, that you just talked about, and the head coach for not letting them let go of the rope, because it never fully did. They had games where they struggled, and there was concerns and valid concerns and a lot of question marks on the injury front, but they never let go of the rope. And that is a credit to them. They stuck with it and won 6 of the last 7 games in the regular season. Got to the number 2 seed, which I don't know, two weeks ago was, I don't have the percentages, but or 3 weeks ago, like it couldn't have been higher than a 20% chance to get to the number 2 seed based on where they were a couple of weeks ago and where they are, where they had to go and who they had to leapfrog. And look, injuries happen. The Giannis thing's a big factor. But the Knicks did beat Milwaukee. So that is a big deal. Basketball gods being real, you don't want to test them, right? And this team is not going to, speaking of not doing it any way but their own way, they were not going to test the basketball gods. The defense is not, that is the one thing. Maybe we'll have an X's and O's show. I think I'm doing one with Benji and I think John coming up this week. Be interesting sort of to look back at where this team is defensively. You know, because I do have, not concerns, but I've not loved some of the Mitch minutes on the defensive end. And when OG is not on the floor, I have not loved some of the minutes there. But again, we are going to get a heavy burden of minutes for their starters. So maybe it's a minor issue, but I'm not concerned about their defense. I'm going to say that right now, but I'm curious of how they can defend at a high level when any of their two superstar defenders, and they have two superstar defenders, by the way, it's Hartenstein and Anunoby. They have been stars on the defensive end, and they are an incredible tandem defensively. I thought, just to make a comparison here, I thought Grimes and Robinson last year was incredible as a tandem defensively, but I feel like Anunoby and Hartenstein has eclipsed those guys. And Grimes and, I mean, Robinson were just hellacious, especially in that Cavs series, making life hard for Donovan Mitchell. So for Hartenstein and Anunoby to even get past that level speaks to where they are as a defensive duo. And then of course you factor in Josh Hart on the defensive end playing. I mean, there's just very few guys that can rotate consistently as crisply and as on time as Josh Hart. He gets into the ball, phenomenal defender. And then DiVincenzo making plays with his underrated athleticism, playing that free safety game, a really talented defensive group as a starting lineup. Just have some questions at how they're going to defend at a high level in the minutes when you don't have their star defenders in the game, but that is for another day. It is time to go for war, Justin. It will have whoever we end up playing, it is going to be a battle. So going to be a lot of fun to watch it with all you. Thank you, Justin.
What's up, Knicks fans? Quick break to tell you about our new sponsor, Unified. Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this episode of the Knicks Film School Podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System. And if you haven't heard of the EE system yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're here in the Big Apple or at hundreds of other locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Don't hesitate. Go to unifiedhealing.com/KFS to learn more and find a center near you. Again, that's unifiedhealing.com/KFS. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Jibo, thank you so much for hanging out with us and supporting us. So amazing. Love this team. Number two seed, baby. Glad we didn't rest anyone. You're here. Bring on Philly or whoever. We don't ever duck smoke. We New York, baby. That is like the New York way, right? Justin talking about doing it the New York way. Do they do it their way all season? There's no ducking of anyone. We saw the Cavs rest their guys, man. And there was no way Tibbs was going to rest his. My dad, there was an inkling of a question of whether or not Brunson was going to come back in the game in the fourth quarter. Clearly, I was insane for even broaching the idea in my head because he was going to come back. He was always going to come back in that game and try to win it. I will say that in shot that he ended up missing at the end of regulation was in and out and an absolute incredible ability, shot attempt to get the ball to the rim and come so close to making it. I mean, it was like Caruso had knocked it away. Brunson had to recover it. And then going to his left, going over his left shoulder, which is the tougher shoulder to sort of like turnover when you are a left-hand player. Going over his right shoulder. It was on the left side of the court. So a tougher fadeaway going on the left corner, falling out of bounds and almost made it. Like that would have been like the best icing on the cake, but the Knicks did enough in the overtime to pull it out. But there was never any doubt that today the Knicks were going to try to run through the finish line. And we know Mitch didn't play more than 7 minutes. Medical recommendation, precautionary is what the early signs are, early reports, and Hartenstein got to 30. So he was at his minutes restriction. That's why we saw Achiuwa there in the fourth quarter. In the overtime, but they were going to run through the finish line. That is what Tibbs had set that expectation. And I'm glad they did. I'm glad they got to 50 wins. Means a lot. And that number two seed means a lot too. It's going to look really cool to see that. I haven't looked at the bracket and just see the Knicks with the number two next to them. On any of the websites, but we'll be very fun to watch that or look at that, get a screenshot and just to appreciate that for the moment, because I think this team deserves that. Robert Cross again. Thank you so much for another super chat there. The Knicks will represent the Eastern Conference in the NBA Finals. So Robert Cross has laid down his flag. He is calling for the Knicks. That the Knicks will be in the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't think as a number two seed, you should think anything less, to be honest. I am of two minds of appreciating where the Knicks are and viewing this team as a live threat and the favorite to go to the Eastern Conference Finals, combined with legitimate concern or respect of who their opponent is going to be. But listen, this team, this ball club, this from the head coach down, they deserve to be appreciated. I get it. They had a scratch and claw to get the 50 wins. Is a bunched up Eastern Conference. A break here or there that goes against them. Maybe they lose and they're at 49 and they're the three. And we're having maybe a slightly different conversation. But 50 wins and number two matters. And I think the Knicks are... I think it's a slight favorite, but I think they should be the favorite to go to the Eastern Finals and likely play the Celtics in a potential Eastern Conference matchup, which I can't even comprehend how that is going to envelope the city if you get a Boston Knicks Eastern Conference finals. Getting goosebumps just thinking about that potential matchup, but a lot has to be done on both sides of the bracket. Boston has to win out on their side to get there too. And as we know, Boston has had their postseason failures have, I think, been a little overrated, but they can go through stretches where the threes aren't going down and late game offense can be a little spotty and just not crisp and there's not much flow, but they're the heavy favorites, but there's no guarantee they're going to get out of there. Side of the bracket either. So Knicks should be favored on their side and just going to enjoy this one and get to watch that play in and look forward to diving in on some film regarding potential Heat or 76er first round matchup. But Robert, thank you so much. Really appreciate you. Thank you. Kevin Wilson, how are we, man? I get not wanting to face Philly or Miami, me too, but seeing the Knicks as the number two seed feels so good, and winning that series would be even better. Yeah, I think I'm in lockstep with you, where I get the pragmatic view of wanting to face Indiana in the 3-6. Completely reasonable take, but I also just wanted that 50 win in the win column, wanted that 50th win, and I wanted that number two seed in the playoffs. And getting home court in the second round, potential second round, is a big deal. If they play Milwaukee as the in the 2-3, I'm measurably more confident in that series with the Knicks having home court. I know home court has, there used to be a point in the 90s where home court advantage was a much bigger deal. It was, especially in game seven deciding games, like it was rare for a road team to win. I think that advantage has, it's just not there anymore for whatever reason. I mean, there's probably something along the lines of like shooting variance and the high level of 3-point shots have just made things a little less predictable in terms of the favorite winning as many times as they were in the 90s, early 2000s. But you want home court, right? And I think the Knicks getting home court throughout the until they get to the Eastern Conference Finals is a huge deal. And maybe it's a big enough deal to where you rather, even if you think the Heat and you think the 76ers are a tougher matchup than the Pacers, that it's worth getting the number two because it's the home court. It could be that impactful, especially in a deciding game. So Kevin, I'm with you. I think that's a good way of putting a bow on this game, because yeah, you can argue the Pacers are the better matchup, but number two does feel good. And the 50 wins feels good too. And I'm going to just let that soak in, because it just, for where this team is, I feel like I didn't expect a 50 win season in middle February where this team was with injuries and everything. So to get there is just a big deal that should be appreciated. Thank you, Kevin. Charlie Boy Third, thank you so much. Hey DJ, can't believe we got to 50 wins. Just said that. Neither can I. And there was a point where I didn't think they were getting there. Seems like karma that we may get to end the Heat season, given they ended JRS. Not sure what that is. Ridiculous for. Thank you, Kevin. Yes. Since they ended Julius Randle's season. Let's go. Hashtag no more Caruso. Hashtag Eastern Conference Finals. Yeah. Probably won't see Caruso again this season with the Bulls being in the 9-10 matchup. He is a pain in the ass. Hell of a player. Made open shots. Got into Brunson late. Created turnovers. Not a fun guy to play. Despite Jalen going from, 45 the last game, 40 tonight. With Caruso making things difficult for him. Look, the Julius factor, he ended it on January 27th, goes in for the layup. Jaquez goes underneath. I don't think it was a dirty play, dangerous play. But it ended Julius's season. So if the Knicks group, the players, view that as a... even if they view that as a dangerous play, I'm sure in the back of their mind, if they end up getting the Heat, that they're going to relish ending their season because of, Julius's season ending on that day for all intents and purposes. So yeah, I think Charlie, you hit on something that is if you're a human being and you have teammates that get hurt and you may think that there was some, I don't want to say nefariousness, but you feel like there was some unnecessary, way of doing things. And we know the Heat have a history here and Bam Adebayo is at the center of it, playing the game in a way that borders on dirty play, that it would feel really good if the Knicks can exact some revenge, not just for Julius, but for the Heat beating the Knicks in last year's playoffs. So I can't argue with that. And can't believe we got in the 50 wins, man. It's gonna, I'm probably gonna have to, like, when I get off here and sit with it a bit, I think it's gonna hit home a little harder that they ended up figuring out a way to get themselves the 50 wins in a season that presented all the different obstacles. It's a big time regular season for this group that I know is not resting on any laurels, and that is going to view themselves as a legitimate contender to get to the finals, and they shouldn't feel any other way. Thank you, Charlie. Stevens B. Guillerme, sorry for butchering your name. I apologize, but thank you so much for your super chat, and I appreciate you being there and hanging out with us. It's so cool. Okay, I might have lost connection there for a brief moment. At least my screen did. Just Kev, just make a note in the chat that I'm still going. Froze for a second, so I'm back up. Okay, good. All right, so almighty second seed, 50 wins. The perseverance is, like, to me, that's of all the different things we've talked about and the pride, it's all about the perseverance of the team, right? I mean, you appreciate, as a New York basketball fan, a team that plays like this. And it's been even when they've struggled, even when things have not gone their way through the Tibbs era, from the We Here season to now, like, you never thought this team was cheating the game. And you would have, most teams probably would have performed tonight in a different way. And maybe a coach would have decided to take the foot off the gas a little bit because of where the Knicks were going to, what their floor was as the number three once the Magic won. But it would have felt like, in a way, and I get the you try to get your best matchup, and that might carry the day in the end. Some teams, like the Cavaliers, are going to view that as more important than trying to get the higher seed, or they're going to view health as the more important piece of it and the risk of injury. It's a fair way of looking at it. This was never going to be this team. They were never going to cheat the game by trying to manufacture their opponent in the playoffs. They were never going to do that, because it's just not how their coach views the game. It's not how the players view the game. They're in complete lockstep with that. And they persevered from the opening night through the end of the regular season. And you think about, like, all the moments, right? The not able to make a shot at the rim for several games, and Julius trying to figure out a way to round himself into shape after the ankle surgery, and things not looking good in the offense, bogging down and moving past that, and then the trade and all these different things. And then you have the Julius injury and the OG uncertainty, his injury, and Mitch going down, and all the things that have been presented, that they never lacked perseverance, never. And you can't not say it doesn't start with the head coach, and you can't not say it doesn't start with the best player on the team, who is just a unique presence in terms of how he goes about his business. And I thought it was completely telling and really an important moment when Tibbs, before the game, compared Jalen Brunson to Patrick Ewing, not in their on-court performance, not in their skill set, completely different players, obviously, but he compared them in terms of their work ethic. And he said, when he showed up to when Van Gundy hired him, and he showed up, and he would get to his first summer as a assistant coach on the Knicks, and there was Patrick Ewing in, like, the middle of July with a full sweat at 34, 35 at that point, late stages of his career, like, still putting in his effort level. That was never something that was he bragged about. It was never something that was talked about a lot. But if you were a viewer, observer, or you covered that team, his work ethic was legendary. So if you have a front seat to that, and you're Tom Thibodeau, to compare anyone to Patrick Ewing in terms of work ethic is the highest level of compliment. There is no bigger compliment Tom Thibodeau can pay to a player than say, your work ethic is on the level of Patrick Ewing. I'm just telling you, he's not comparing them as players. He's comparing their work ethic. And if you are around Patrick Ewing, his work ethic was legendary. It was the thing that made him such a dominant force above anything else. Like he never cheated the game. And Jalen Brunson never cheats the game with anything less than elite work ethic. And so I thought it was a big moment there for Tibbs to compare Jalen Brunson to Patrick Ewing on that specific attribute, which I'm telling you is one of the highest compliments Tom Thibodeau can pay to a player. Thank you, Stevens. Really appreciate that.